Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We started the book of Job last time, and so we're just a couple of chapters into it. We're going to be reading chapters 4 through 7 this next week. And so let's recap where we're at.
Yeah, so try to keep it short, but we found this man by the name of Job, who was the greatest in the land, right? Greatest in the East. And we found that he had everything. Mm-hmm. And then we also found everything was taken away from him.
Yeah.
Now, he still had his wife, and at one point he still had his health, but even that started going away too. Yeah. And we find out behind the scenes that Satan and God have a couple conversations.
Yeah.
And God says, you know, have you considered my faithful servant Job? And Satan's like, yeah, well, you won't let me touch him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, you know, don't touch him, but you can touch anything else. And then they came back together, and Satan says, well, it's no fair. You didn't let me touch him.
Yeah.
Okay, touch him, but you can't kill him.
Yep.
And then we find that he has sores all over his body, and I think we see how bad they are even later. But again, Job doesn't curse God.
Yeah, yeah. It does start to wear on him, though.
Oh,
and
definitely.
As we go through, you know, a little bit of a spoiler, by the time we get to chapter 42, he does actually have to repent for something. And I won't say what it is yet, but there's this concept that, oh, Job went through it perfectly. Job never sinned. Well, not at first, but eventually he did, you know, have to, it did wear him down. He did have to wrestle with
the stuff. Sinful people, too. Yeah. So this incredibly bad thing happens to Job, and now his three friends have come.
Yeah, and they hasn't lost his friends either.
Yeah, true. But they were like in different counties.
Yeah, right.
And now they're back together. And for a week they just sat there, and whether they didn't know what to say or they were just mourning with him, because he lost 10 children.
Yeah.
All of his wealth in the form of animals, all of his servants except for four, everything.
Yeah.
And then last week at the end, Job starts talking, and he asks a bunch of questions, and we don't get any answers.
No.
But he's asking questions like, why was I even born?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of me even being here if God was going to do that? Isn't it better that I just was never born to begin with? Or shouldn't I just have died at birth?
Yeah.
What's the deal? These are questions we have, right?
Yeah.
When that absolutely terrible thing happens in our lives, we go back to square one. Why am I even here?
Yeah.
And I think last week we talked about it from the opposite end. All of us want to have an impact on this world. We want to be, you know, known for something, or, you know, be able to do good, you know, whatever that is. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and we wrestle with a lot of these questions.
These are the 3 a.m. questions, right? When you get up to get a drink, and you're laying back in bed and your mind's racing.
Yep, and you can't go back to sleep, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What's God going to say about that?
You know, you're looking at another day of the same thing at work. You're looking at another day of the same thing at home. You're looking at another year of no change. You're looking, and what's the point? It's this hamster wheel that we feel like we're on, and then we think we just about have our timing down, just about have it down, and something knocks us off our feet, and we're like, what's the point? Why am I even messing with this?
Wow. So that's where we're at. That was chapter 3. And we found in chapter 3, Job did all the talking in that. And we kind of see that going forward, right?
Well, so what happens is his three friends, we call them, you know, fellow CEOs or board members or whatever. First of all, sometimes people talk about these friends like with air quotes. Oh, yeah, they're friends. You know, look at what they talk about. But they really are. They really are trying to give him good counsel, trying to give him good advice, trying to help him get to the bottom of what's going on here, because they want to see their friend succeed.
Right. In the first place, they traveled a long distance to get there. In the second place, they sat for 7 days just being there.
Yeah.
And now they're offering some advice.
Yeah. Now, it's going to turn to an accusatory tone. Okay. Yep. But that's because, from their perspective, Job just keeps defending himself. But I didn't do anything. But, you know, and he keeps pushing back against their advice. So what do we do when people push back against our advice? Yeah, we start yelling at them, you know? So this is like real life going on here, okay? But that doesn't mean that they weren't really friends, that they didn't have good things to say, good questions that they wanted to ask. In fact, they're going to bring up a lot of good theology about God. Now, a lot of it's going to be misapplied, okay? They're going to say, because of this, then this. I'm like, I'm not sure you can make that leap. But we have 3,000 years of knowledge and a complete Bible that they didn't have.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that we're hoping to do as we work through the book of Job here is keep conversations intact. So, for instance, this week we're going to read a couple of chapters of one of the friends, Eliphaz. He's going to start laying out what he thinks may be the issue, and we'll read Job's response. And next week it will be somebody else's thoughts and Job's response. And they're going to come from different perspectives and different angles. And we don't want to cross those. We want to engage with what's going on right there. Yeah. Sometimes that means we'll read a lot in one week. Sometimes that means it seems like we probably could read more and we're trying to stretch it out. That's why we're doing this. But I encourage you to read carefully. Don't just blow through it. Oh, I'm just going to, read. You know. Actually, dig in, because not only is there good theology, but sometimes just one verse, there's like this gem just buried in, somebody's monologue.
Yeah. Well, and some of these are monologues, but I totally agree with you when you distill it down to what's the essence of that question. We've all had these questions.
Yeah.
So it all of a sudden becomes important because I've been there.
Yeah.
I feel that. So what's the answer?
And there's going to be some stuff in here we can use when we're going through things, when somebody else is going through things. There's some stuff in here that we'll point out. Don't do this. Just don't be that guy.
We've all been that guy.
Right. Well, there's one in chapter 5 that I'll point out here in just a minute. I'm like, don't be that guy, right? So Eliphaz starts first.
He's a Temanite.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the land that he's from, which would have been fairly close to us, but it also, it's not a million miles away, but it's also
somewhere in the Middle East.
5 miles. Yeah. Right. He comes in and he starts off by commending Job.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, you encourage others. You're doing some great things. Now, I have to tell you, you're not very encouraging right now.
What do you expect?
But then he defines what his philosophy is. It's almost like he's trying to lay out his game plan on what he's gonna talk to him about. And his philosophy for right now seems to be good people always win, bad people always lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those things where we know that's not true.
Yeah.
We see it all the time. 3,000 years ago, maybe we didn't see it as much. I don't know, but that's where he's starting from. And then he goes into, because something bad happened to you, that must mean you sinned someplace.
Yeah.
So and he let's does, figure that out.
And he does bring it back to God. God is a God of holiness. He's a God of justice. He hates sin. He's going to punish sin. Therefore, you sinned.
Right.
Now, you may not have known it. Okay, I'll give you that. But somewhere deep inside, you've sinned, and we need to, dig down to the bottom of this. It's sort of like reading a book by a leadership guru or multimillionaire or something, where they're far enough removed where it's just like, okay, I'm a peon over here and I'm not sure that we're living in the same world anymore.
Yeah, but that is exactly it, right? Because you call these guys CEOs because of the standpoint of they own a great amount of servants and a great amount of animals, and people look up to them, so they need to be supplying those answers. And now Job, who was there, like you said, is now that peon.
Yep.
Why am I here? Well, why was I born?
And I like how you said, you know, he's laying out his game plan. I mean, think of this as a CEO sitting there in the boardroom saying, all right, here's the business plan. You know, here's we're looking at our annual report. Why are you down here? How did you get here, and how are we going to get you back up?
That's how
he's thinking. And what he does is Eliphaz, each one of these guys is going to, like I said, come from a different angle, a different world, or different position. Eliphaz comes from human experience. Now, they're all going to come from theology. Okay, and again, some of it's good and some of it's bad theology, but it's not like one of these guys is a theologian. They're all going to bring their understanding of God. But Eliphaz comes from this position of just human experience. He says chapter 5, verse 3, I myself have seen this. You know, I mean, this is how things work.
Yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 27, look, we've investigated this, so it's true. You know, he's building his theology and the application of his theology around human experience. We all know this is true, therefore. So,
yes.
Can we rely on that? Sometimes, sometimes not.
Well, so is this one of those places where, because we're 3,000 years later and we have a complete Bible, that we have a more complete picture?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than he had then.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you think of we were likening Job to Abraham, the same world, same thing. You know, Abraham is hobnobbing with the Pharaoh of Egypt and kings of the regions and everything. These guys were doing the same similar type of thing. You know, they weren't the peons. They weren't. He's like, you know what? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Things just work.
Right.
Well, maybe at your level, things just work, but.
You know? Yeah, not so much time here.
Yeah. And did you forget what it took you to build up to that? And, you know, all of the different things that go through
that. So in chapter 5, Eliphaz has some interesting comments because he seems to believe that before a person dies, God is going to punish them for their sins.
Yeah.
So in other words, you can have good things happen in your life. You do bad things. Now you need to pay for those bad things. Almost like the concept of karma,
that
we'd call it today.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're going to even out. If good things happen to you, that's fine, but these bad things are going to catch up.
Yeah. So there's not yet a concept. I mean, there is a concept of a redeemer. In fact, Job will talk about a redeemer later on in the book. There is a concept of a resurrection, but certainly not fully fleshed like we understand it. Right. You know, they don't know the cross is coming. They don't know, you know, any of that. So all he knows is, listen, I know bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people, and God is a God of justice, so we're just going to take those two ideas, marry them together, and therefore, you sinned, God is getting you, and so if you would just confess your sin, you'll get back on top.
Yeah, confess your sin, now we can work on the restoration piece, and you know, and that's the part where we get you back to the top.
Well, and not even just that, but there's a section from chapter 5, verse about 17 to 26, that if I just said this, and you didn't know it was from Job, if I just recited or read this office, you would think I was one of today's prosperity preachers or word faith type guys. Yeah. I mean, he's just like,
How God's going to bless you.
He's going to deliver you from this, and he's going to bandage your wounds, and you're not going to miss anything. You know that your children will be numerous, and just God is going to, but just confess, just have enough faith, and everything will be fine. So it's not even that he has to build it back up. God's just going to...
Yeah, God's going to do it.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's what does indeed happen, but not because Eliphaz says so, right? So again, it's a misapplied... There's a nugget of truth in there, but Eliphaz still had something wrong. Yeah. By the way, so in chapters 4 and 5, we have Eliphaz. In chapters 6 and 7, Job's going to respond. So before we move on to Job, here's verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. Eliphaz says, but as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would set forth my case. Don't be that guy. You know, well, if I were in your shoes, this is what I would do.
I would talk to God.
Yeah, I would just go ahead and, it is, even just fill in the blank. You know, if I were you, you know. Okay, you didn't lose all your kids, you didn't lose your health, you didn't lose everything, you aren't sitting here on the dump, You're not me. Well, yeah, if I were you, I would. You have no idea what you would do if you were me.
I always take it as the guy, the fix-it guy, right? Yeah. I just want to fix your problem, yep. right? Because I'm good at fixing stuff. Here's how you fix your problem. Here's yep. what I would do to fix this yep. problem.
I know. And yep. guys, you know, men tend to do that especially. Yeah. But I'm telling you,
yeah,
don't be that guy. I agree with that. That's not what the person needs to hear in yeah. that moment. Well, if I were you, you have no idea. Right. You have no idea.
Well, that is a really good application. There's a death. You know, when it happened to me, you know, don't make it about you.
Don't make right? it. Oh yeah, it's another good. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right. So chapter 6 and 7. Job responds.
Yep.
His grief is heavy. I mean, you know, he's still down there. He's still living with it. He again wants God to end his life. He talks a little bit about his friends were not loyal, right? And I think he uses the word kind, right? Kind. You guys haven't been kind to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a? Did I get the word wrong there?
Yeah. It's the kindness, loving kindness, loyalty. It's all sort of wrapped up in the same thing.
Okay. But they're good enough friends that Job can say, you guys have been no help to me yeah. so far, yeah. and they don't leave.
Yeah, right.
yeah. One of the things I was wondering about, the friends keep telling Job, you had to send someplace, you had to send someplace, but it also seems they don't want to take Job's side.
Yeah.
Are they worried that if they do take Job's side, the same thing's going to happen to them?
There are definitely some commentators that think that they're trying to help, but I don't want to.
Yeah, right. You
know, I don't know if you're.
He
contagious.
Messed up someplace. We don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're checking their bank accounts. They're like, did we do any dealings with him recently? Did, yeah. You know. Yeah.
You know. Am I all caught up with it? Yeah. Because I don't want to owe this guy anything. I don't. Either.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the and again I like your concept, the karma theology. They don't want bad things to happen to them, so they're going to try to do good, but right. not get too close, just in right. case it's catching.
Yeah. Towards the end of chapter 6, Job asks his friends, "How have I sinned?"
Yeah.
Okay. You keep saying I sinned.
Yep.
Tell me how.
Yep.
It seems to stumble them for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, you know, teach me and I'll be silent. Explain. Just I mean, if you have something to say, just come out with it. Don't talk around. Don't yeah. you know, just if you know something, if I'm blind in an area, just call me out on it, because it's not like he was, you know, enjoying this. If there was something right. there, he would have confessed right. it right away.
Well, I think it's also important. I mean, this bad thing did happen to him. With the friends, it's theory. This is really happening to him.
Yeah.
He wants an answer. I mean, he is searching for an answer, and yeah. he can't find it. He's looking for help.
And God's not something. Talking. And that's yeah. the thing, is that God is silent.
Yeah.
And he keeps appealing to God, but God is silent at this time.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny, because he was also... You know, he again wants to die, and he doesn't forget about God, but he's wondering why he was still alive, and he was also wondering, why was God even paying attention to me in the first place?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, because myself, which means all of us, right? All of us want that attention from God. We want God to smile upon us. We want to be able to talk to God and have him talk to us. And if we go back and look at all the times that God has talked to people, I'm not sure we want God to talk to us. You know, we might want to rethink that a little bit.
What's interesting is that, I mean, Job really did love God. He tried to obey him. He tried to serve him. And so he could not fathom that God would do this to him. But right. there was nothing else in his theology that would account for it.
Right. So he's at straws, right?
It has
he's
to be grasping. God. Yeah, it right. has to be God. And he just can't right. figure out... Why? Yeah. It's chapter 7, verse 17 is really interesting, because assuming this was written, like we said last time, you know, maybe by Moses or way early on, what is mankind that you make so much of them, that you pay attention to them? That, I wonder if that was in the mind of the psalmist, because that is almost exactly what we read in Psalm 8. What is man that you're mindful of him, that you pay any attention at all? You know, you've created us a little lower than the angels, which is then also quoted in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. So there's this theme way early on, and then under the Mosaic Law, you know, around David's time, and then way New Testament, you know, like the whole scope of the Bible chronologically is, why do you care about us, God? Why do you pay attention to us?
Valid question,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean, God's, you know, the potter.
So much higher, right?
Yeah, he could, we could be anything.
Yeah.
And but yet, there seems to be some care, right? And love.
I think it's because it goes all the way back to page one. He created us in his image and after his likeness. And he has, in not just invested, but inherently he's imparted something in us that is directly from him. You know, animals don't have it. We are the pinnacle of God's terrestrial creation. And he does care for us, yeah, which
seems
is what
like he
makes,
wants to see that bloom.
Yeah.
Right, whatever it is.
Which is what makes this and life so difficult, because if you care for me, why is this happening to me? Right. And why won't you show up when I'm asking?
Yeah. So like we said, the basic questions that everybody has, that he's going through them, he's asking these, and up through chapter 7, he's not getting any answers.
Yeah. Yep. And he asks God, he ends up, he closes chapter 7, of course he didn't know it was chapter 7, but he closes chapter 7 asking God the same question he asked Eliphaz. If I sinned, what is it? If I sinned against you, what have I done to you? Just let me know so that I can confess it, so you can forgive me, pardon me, and we can move on.
Yep.
You know, he's still in that mindset where if that's true, you know, I'm willing to confess it. It hasn't gotten nasty yet. Yep. And it will, but it hasn't. Yep. It hasn't gotten nasty yet.
All right.
So there's a good chance that at some point, either whether you're watching this the first time, you know, shortly after we are recording it, or who knows, sometime down the road, you stumble across this video and you are going through what we can call a Job situation, and you've got a lot of questions and no answers. God knows how to work in that situation, and he may be quiet right now, but we're still early in the book. And so we're looking for attitudes, and we're looking for perspectives that we can approach tough situations, life-altering situations. So if you have some of those questions, feel free to contact us. We may not have good answers right away, but also stay with the series, because answers are coming as we work through this book, even if we don't have any right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the deal.
Yeah. So hopefully you do share this with your friends, and come back next time, and we'll just take a look at this next speech and response and see what another friend has to say.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye.